Karima Brown, live,
online,
smartphones,
DSTV,
and 92.7,
and 106 FM.
7 minutes after 8 o'clock, the economic freedom fighters have vowed to bring down Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan, saying the party is determined to expose what it calls all his shenanigans. The Red Berets, together with Black First Land First members, picketed outside the State Capture Commission this afternoon, where the minister was testifying. Ahead of the minister's testimony at the Commission of Inquiries, the ANC's chief whip, Jackson Mthembu, in a series of tweets showed support for Minister Gordhan in the face of accusations from the EFF. Mthembu questioned the EFF leader Julius Malema's assertion that Pravin Gordhan was an enabler of state capture, saying that if the EFF had any evidence, they should do the right thing and deposit an affidavit to this effect with the commission. He then went on to say that Comrade Gordhan had in fact exposed state capture and that it was the actions taken by the minister to clean up the South African New Revenue Services and state-owned enterprises that have made him the enemy of the economic freedom fighters. We're hoping to speak with the EFF this evening to find out when they are planning to submit their evidence to the Zondo Commission. However, they have not responded to our numerous requests for them to come onto the show. Well, joining me now to get the ANC's perspective to the developments of today is the ANC's head of presidency, Mr. Zizi Kodwa. Mr. Kodwa, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karina. Thanks very much for having us.
Now, of course, the chief whip tweeted saying that if Mr. Malema has evidence that Pravin Gordhan is the enabler of state capture, let him do the right thing and deposit an affidavit to this effect with the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture. And he went on to say that these ridiculous claims against Gordhan and racial insults by the EFF started when he had acted on corrupt activities as SARS and a number of SOEs stepping on some prominent people's toes. Mr. Kodwa, what do you make of the EFF's claims that Mr. Gordhan is in fact the enabler of state capture? Do you share Mr. Mthembu's view that they should go to the commission if they have any evidence?
What you see is what I would call, in political terms, politics of distraction. In other words, create a decoy so that you move the spotlight somewhere and create an impression about something else. Mm. Obviously, you're talking about what people I would call champions of anti-corruption of yesterday are now defenders of corruption today. Mm. It's very interesting, because if there was any credible evidence about Comrade Pravin, the commission is precisely established for that, so that there is no longer a hot air about, you know, allegations of corruption. If anybody has even an iota of allegations of corruption, the commission is meant for that.
Yes.
So if any political party takes itself serious about fighting corruption, whatever information they have about anybody, and I mean anybody, they are allowed to go to the commission. It's only the ANC so far. We've already voluntarily applied and submitted our intent to reserve our right of reply to two issues in the commission. Mm. The ANC will appear next week, Tuesday on the 27th, before Judge Zondo, mm-hmm, on a number of aspects that we have already indicated, including some of the supplementary papers we've submitted. Because we're very clear about some of the issues that have happened, we must allow the commission to do its work uninterrupted. Should anybody have any information, that somebody, must then go before the commission to present that evidence. That's why I say what you see is deliberately choreographed in order to shift the spotlight.
Mm.
Because Comrade Pravin is, among others, those who have fought to bring us to be where we are today. We have, I think that he has unearthed the extent of state capture. He has been very unpopular, of course, because even if you can see now the fight-back strategy is surrounds him, particularly because he's one person who does not speak from both sides of his mouth.
Mm.
If his corruption is corruption. And therefore, generally, those who might have benefited, they part of their fight-back strategy would be to attack him in a manner that is attacking public.
Now, we know, of course, that Mr. Dalimpofu is the representative for Mr. Tom Moyane, who was sacked by President Cyril Ramaphosa as head of the Revenue Services following what happened there. And, of course, Mr. Gordon had warned even former President Jacob Zuma about Mr. Moyane's appointment. That was one of the issues he said in his affidavit that he raised. Do you think that there is a coincidence in the fact that the EFF is trying to make Mr. Gordhan, you know, the spotlight because they know that he is coming after them and that he has, in fact, been at the forefront of dealing with some of their dodgy tax affairs? We know, for example, Mr. Malema's goods were attached and were auctioned to pay a 16 million rand tax bill off to SARS.
You must remember the relationship between Gordhan and EFF and some of these leaders come a long way.
Mm.
Precisely the issue you are raising, precisely because of his stance against corruption. And I think what you see is engineered. It's what I call, I referred to earlier, as nothing else, but it is machination engineered to shift the spotlight.
Mm.
No longer corruption, because you now have a platform. Like money, no money did something that was never done before. You just walk into the commission to say, I'm here.
Mm.
Even if people may not even have want to apply and say, we want to submit papers, we want to appeal, people, if they think that they've got evidence, they must go to the commission. It's open, transparent, obviously that evidence is credible. It will be tested, it will be collaborated, it will be corroborated. And therefore, the judge at the end of the day would arrive at his determination of recommendations and findings. But it makes no sense to be outside elsewhere using microphones and continue to shout. Because all of us, about a couple of years ago, yes, we were shouting about the establishment of the commission. The commission, it is now in motion. We're quite happy with the work that the commission under Chairperson, the DCJ, is doing. And the thing that we are encouraged to see a number of prominent former leaders and incumbent leaders of the ANC, including former ministers, going to the commission. We are encouraged by that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the name of the ANC surely, naturally, will continue to arrive into the race, but it helps, because what we need to do is to discover and earth the rot, what are the lessons, and we must correct. If there are anything that went wrong in the period under review, we must make sure that we correct that and re-establish confidence of our people to public institutions, which their confidence have been eroded over a period of time.
Mr. Kodwa, I know your time is limited, so I'm going to ask you a final question. There was, of course, deliberate race baiting of Mr. Gordhan. He was referred to as someone who undermines African leadership. This was the same attack that was made against Ismail Momoniat at the Treasury. And then, of course, also the EFF insists that this rogue unit still exists, even though, of course, we know that that is not true. And they were asked at a press conference if they have information of a rogue unit. Surely they have the responsibility to take it to the relevant authorities. What is the African National Congress saying about this race baiting of the EFF, projecting Mr. Gordhan as some kind of narrow racist Indian who picks on Africans and who picks on their competence? I mean, that's the effect of what the EFF is saying.
You must appreciate that in the context of the absence of facts, it's very easy to just to construct what I would call conspiracy theories. And in the absence of facts, obviously when political parties and individuals in society don't have facts, don't have a solid grounded political and ideological grounding, it's very easy to use labeling, especially if there is no historical existence. In terms of the political, geopolitical, and therefore some of these the hot air you hear and you see, you must understand its genesis. Because in South Africa, for example, if a party one morning it says it believes in a non-racial character of a new democratic South Africa, but on the other hand, it does something different. Comrade Gordhan and many others, the African National Congress has been a torchbearer of non-racialism in this country. Notwithstanding some of the challenges we've had, but regardless of those challenges, through our expression of the policy and articulation of multiculturalism, many white Democrats, even from across, joined the African National Congress because they could see the better future, the better South Africa in our articulation. And therefore, the non-racialism, the non-racial character, is one of the cardinal pillars and principles upon which the African National Congress exists. It defines it differently from all other parties who may believe, not non-racialism, but multi-party or multi-racialism, such as the DA, for example. Within that, what you are beginning to see, again, to go back to my point, I think we must avoid a decoy. Mm. What you see is a polarization of South African political body in order for us to forget about the real enemy. The real enemy of our people, the poor, is corruption.
Mm.
And therefore, all those who have to stand to fight against corruption, they must stand with Comrade President Gordhan and their peers, and their peers even tomorrow. We'll be there again even tomorrow, because all those who stand to benefit from corruption will attack him in a manner that they've done so before.
All right, Mr. Zizi Kodwa, thank you very much for your time. That's the ANC head of presidency in the African National Congress, Mr. Zizi Kodwa, speaking to us. Now, of course, other organizations were also there. Mr. Wayne Duvenage, the chief executive of Officer at Outer, also present at the hearing. Mr. Duvenage, because the information was leaked in terms of what was in Mr. Gordhan's testimony, there was a sense among people that we know there were some things that we already knew. But it was quite telling to hear him speak about the urgency with which President Jacob Zuma, for example, wanted to elevate the nuclear deal, the rushness with which it went through. And then, of course, Mr. Nene's final sacking as a consequence of refusing to sign this deal.
Yes, yes, Karima. I think Minister Gordhan set the platform very clearly today, used up most of the day, just to set the scene exactly what was happening and how the President was running roughshod over due process. I mean, he has a minister explained how the irrational decisions were taken to remove first Nene and then himself a bit later on, and what was going on behind the scenes. This sets the tone for what is to come. And I think over the next couple of days, we're going to get a lot of good information.
And one of the things, of course, that he made mention of was the rushed push for Denal Asia to be formed, which, of course, involves Mr. Salim Essa and Mr. Duduzani Zuma, President Zuma's son. And the fact that Mr. Essa is now in the wind, and he also said that there's a lot of fake information about the fact that Denal is selling its intellectual property, if you like. And he made a very important distinction between the fact that this is not Denal's competency, this is South Africa's competency, and that it is not for sale and up for the highest bidder. How critical is the information around VR Laser going to be, and how does it implicate Minister Lynn Brown, because she signed off on it, but of course the deal couldn't proceed because the Treasury had held the line?
Yes, exactly. I mean, if you just look at Daniel Muncher's appointment and the positions, and soon after he was appointed in mid-2015, he was off to India and then off to Dubai, and you could see the dealings happening. He has a chairperson who's really acting as a proxy and somebody who's advancing the interests of the Gupta's investment or so-called JV status with Denal. I mean, they were going to literally hijack the intellectual property of Denal, which worked for years, and then be able to start peddling and selling this technology overseas, making billions out of intellectual property that really belongs here. We didn't need to do this at all. And the trail of information and how he was really centered to all of this is extremely damning and conflict of interest. Like one, you know, you just don't read about stuff like this is so blatant that that's going to be very interesting to see. We've got a lot of this information in our charges, which we laid in 2016, so against Daniel Muncha. So it's quite interesting to see it now be painted clearly in the State Capture Commission.
And of course, during the Gupta leaks, we saw the links between Daniel Muncha and the Guptas. They've essentially paid his outstanding electricity bill, something to the tune of I don't know how many thousands of rands. And of course, now Mr. Muncha is actually Mr. Zuma's actual counsel after he sacked Mr. Hali. So, I mean, one doesn't even have to refer to the Gupta links. The links are there in real terms. Mr. Muncha is the one that's defending Mr. Zuma in the spy tape case.
Absolutely. I mean, Daniel Muncha is from what we can see, how he is implicated in this matter and others is so clear. We're not surprised that he's representing Jacob Zuma. He's very, very guilty if you just join the dots on the issues surrounding all the goings on at Danel and the links to the Guptas and the VR laser contracts.
Absolutely. That is CEO of ARTA, Mr. Wayne Duvenage, speaking to us there about Mr. Pravin Gordhan's testimony. And of course, he continues tomorrow. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak about the project of state capture and what it involved. And we're doing that with Professor Mark Swilling, who is the co-author of The Shadow State, The Politics of State Capture.